more of it to get back up to that beginning threshold of pleasure. Moderation means you're constantly going through this cycle and fighting with lower and lower levels of pleasure. The effect of one drink is to want another drink. Can you see the difficulties that moderation poses physiologically? Third, alcohol impairs your ability to stick with your intentions. We know drinkers make bad decisions, right? I can remember making simple rules around my moderation, like I was going to have 2 glasses of wine and then stop. Yet I would inevitably wake up in the morning feeling horrible about not only breaking my commitment, but also not being able to remember how many glasses I actually did have. I hated myself for failing at moderation. The truth is that even a single drink impairs your prefrontal cortex, which is where you make decisions. So the biological deck is stacked against moderation because just one drink can damage your decision-making power. Fourth, alcohol makes you thirsty. It's a diuretic, and it dehydrates you, so that next drink becomes even more enticing, simply because your body is craving liquid. And since you're also craving more alcohol, remember the second reason? It only makes sense to satisfy that thirst with more alcohol. Fifth, again, alcohol numbs your response to normal stimuli. Over time, the regular production of dynorphin in your brain suppresses your ability to enjoy everyday activities. And eventually, you lose interest in anything but drinking. So if your plans for moderation are even remotely regular, drinking once a week or having 1 glass a night, you can fall into this trap. What starts out as a reasonable amount of alcohol soon becomes not enough. And you're right back on that hamster wheel of addiction. This, of course, is tolerance, and tolerance is one of the main criteria for alcohol use disorder. And finally, alcohol increases cravings but not pleasure. By releasing dopamine in your system, your brain is increasing the desire for alcohol. And dopamine causes a want, a craving. Then by releasing dynorphin, your brain is decreasing the pleasure you get from that drink you want so badly. Over time, you want to drink more and more, but you actually like it less and less. So moderation leads you down this slippery slope that's all about chemicals and not about your personal strength or willpower. Today, put the idea of moderation under the microscope of the ACT technique. With everything you now know, do you still believe moderation is a good idea? Do you believe it's even possible to enjoy moderation? And if you decide to moderate, can you remain open to the possibility that it might turn out to be less than you'd hope for? Day 28, journal questions. Remember, all the wisdom you seek is actually inside you. The most important words in this experiment are the ones you tell yourself. So take some time and answer these questions in a separate journal. That's the most effective. Or maybe even make a voice memo to yourself. Or simply speak the words out loud for only you to hear. 1. Your key takeaways. What are the most important things you've learned from today's lesson? With everything you now know, do you still believe moderation is a good idea? Again, there's no wrong answer. This is about figuring out what's right for you. 2. Mindful drinking in your future. Define exactly what mindful drinking means to you. If you aim to drink in moderation with both eyes wide open, it is important to decide exactly what that means for you. How much do you plan to drink at a time? How often? What situations will you allow yourself a drink? How will you measure success? Just begin a rough plan today. It doesn't have to be perfect. Because if you don't take your time to define what you want and what success is for you, then you won't even know if you're hitting your goals. Day 28 Reflections from AlcoholExperiment.com. Sherry says, "For the first time, I feel like I have the tools to control my drinking. which at this point is looking more and more like quitting altogether. I just don't see the point of starting again, even in moderation, at least not for me. I can truly say that I see no benefits. I'm a little apprehensive about a life alcohol-free, and I plan on returning to the lessons and rereading This Naked Mind for support. Mainly, I'll be reminding myself of the fantastic difference between my former dynorphin-filled, low-energy self, who had lost confidence in herself, and the self of late, who has regained energy and hope and revels in each day met without a hangover or a cloudy head. One who feels much more able and capable to deal with the challenges in her life. Corbin says, I've tried moderation so many times, and besides being exhausting, I hated being a slave to alcohol. I'm not going to sacrifice the freeing feeling I'm experiencing on day 28 just for a buzz. I know I'd be re-addicted in no time. I'm turning 59 tomorrow, and I've been drinking for 44 years. I have such a hard time believing that I'm even still alive. And lastly, I do not miss all the self-hatred and shame alcohol fed me. Victoria says, I drank an entire bottle of wine last night. Not part of an experiment, but just a decision to have one glass that led to four glasses. I snapped at my husband over something I don't remember. My daughter told me I had wine breath and didn't want to kiss me goodnight. I fell asleep alone. Woke up at 4 a.m., sweaty and heart racing, and looking for water and so disappointed in myself. So the lesson today about moderation is a good one for me. I know I can go to a restaurant and only have one glass of wine with dinner, but I can't have an open wine bottle in my home. I keep learning the same lesson over and over again. This is not the life I want for myself, and I have the power to change it. My kids are 10, twins, and they're watching and learning from me. They deserve better, a better mom and a better example. My husband deserves better from me, and I deserve better from myself. Need to take better care of myself, and feelings of self-loathing post-drink are so damaging. I am better not drinking. I know this to be true. I am the best version of myself when I'm alcohol-free. My outlook is healthier and better. My mood is enhanced. I am more present. I am more hopeful. I am just more. Moderation is not for me. Day 29. Tough love. Orison Swett Marden says, the golden opportunity you are seeking is in yourself. It's not in your environment, it's not in luck or chance or the help of others. It is in yourself alone. As we are in the last 2 days of this experiment, it's time for some tough love. Please know that today's lesson was written with love and compassion. At the end of the day, the key to unlocking how you handle alcohol is on the inside. You are the only one who can make the change. The choice is yours. No one else can do it for you. And you have a unique opportunity right now to take complete responsibility for all of your actions going forward. We spend so much time thinking, I would drink less if my life weren't so stressful, or if my husband hadn't left me. I wouldn't be drinking so much, or if my kids were nicer to me, or maybe when the kids are out of the house. There's always a reason or an excuse for drinking too much. The truth is, this train runs only one way, forward. Based on your personal physiology and the addictive nature of alcohol, things are only going to get worse over time. You'll build up a tolerance and need more and more alcohol to deal with the cravings. You'll drink more and more. Look at your friends and relatives who choose to drink. Are they drinking more or less than they did 5 years ago? Of course, depending on their age, they might be drinking less than they did back in the booze-soaked college days. But in general, what has been the progression during normal post-college adulthood? Hopefully, this experiment has taught you to be mindful about your drinking habits. It has given you the power to look at behavior from a different perspective. If you go back to mindless drinking, you could be headed somewhere you don't want to go. Self-medicating with alcohol is not a long-term answer to anything. In fact, it's the opposite. It only increases stress, depression, and anxiety. If you've got real-world problems, drinking is only going to mask them in the short term and make things worse in the long term. I consider myself lucky to have started looking at my drinking when I was still in control of the situation. After the first or second time I drank in the morning, I took a step back and started to make some life-altering decisions. The longer you delay making changes, the harder it will be. Your brain will become more and more accustomed to the alcohol. Remember that dopamine is one of the feel-good chemicals your brain releases to experience satisfaction and pleasure. Alcohol destroys dopamine receptors over time, which means you'll have a harder time getting pleasure from everyday activities, like playing with your kids or going to the movies with friends. The longer you're on the train, the harder it is to get off. So ask yourself, where are you headed? What does your future look like if you don't make a change? What's life going to be like for you a year after this experiment? How about in 5 years or 10? Whatever alcohol is costing you now, it's going to cost you more in the future. Remember your why. Think back to why you started this experiment in the first place. You wanted to shift, to pivot, to make space for a better tomorrow. And you may even be searching for your true purpose in this world. How are you meant to give back? And how can you ever do that if you're really not your best self? You have come so far in the past few weeks. Really, you are amazing. And you owe it to yourself to put some thought and intention into how you want to go forward from here. How do you want your life to go? Does it make you sad or bummed out to say, I'm never going to drink again? That's the case for so many drinkers. They have lots of memories of drinking with their friends or having wine with their spouses. And it's sad to set an ultimatum to never, ever touch alcohol again. And you might get to that point, and that's great. But ultimatums like, I'm never going to drink again, can actually set you up for failure. It's like going on a diet and saying, I'm never going to have chocolate again as long as I live. Never is a long time. So instead of that, try setting some non-negotiables for your life. These are promises you make to yourself that allow you to make conscious decisions about your drinking. But if you cross over a certain line, then you return to a longer period of abstinence. Now, it's important that you don't consider this a punishment for screwing up. It's simply a line in the sand that you're drawing for yourself. It actually gives you more control over your own behavior than if you leave your drinking up to chance. One of my own non-negotiables was about memories. I'm never going to get so drunk that I black out and forget things. I'm never going to sacrifice my memories of my family vacations or social gatherings because I'm drinking too much. And I'm never going to drink so much that I puke the next morning. Before you return to drinking, reflect on your drinking days. At what point did you go too far? Draw your line in the sand and stick to it. If those behaviors start creeping back into your life, return to this experiment and try it for 60 days or 90 days. It doesn't matter how many times you catch yourself and return to abstinence. What matters is that you catch yourself sooner and sooner every time, and that you reflect after each episode whether it's even worth returning to drinking. It might be, but you might also start to notice that it's just not fun anymore. You might decide you're tired of going around and around with the whole alcohol game. That's okay too. You can always return to abstinence. And eventually, you might decide to stay there. Gaining control. It's impossible to make these kinds of decisions when you don't have full control. When you're in the grips of a craving, something primal comes over you, and a neurological need takes precedence over your conscious desire to do better. So you need to set your non-negotiable line in the sand right after a period of sobriety, like this 30-day experiment. You are now in full control of your faculties, and you can make rational decisions without cravings or emotional addictions influencing you. When you make a firm decision about something, it's so much easier. You don't have to go around and around in your brain wondering if you should stay sober for a while. You know the exact point you need to do it. Then you just do it and get your life back on an even keel. When people successfully complete a period of sobriety, they feel so confident and happy. They know they can handle anything that comes their way. They finally have control over their drinking habits. It breaks my heart to see these same people completely blindsided when they find themselves reverting to their same old behavior patterns. They don't see it coming. And worse, they are so cruel to themselves when it happens. Their self-esteem completely disappears. If they could physically beat themselves up, they probably would. Please don't let this happen to you. As long as you realize you could slide backward at any time, you will remain vigilant. Use the tools I've given you in this chapter to monitor what's happening in your life and make the decision that you want freedom and control over alcohol more than you want to drink, which means that quitting forever is always a possibility if it becomes necessary. Now, don't beat yourself up if you find yourself backsliding. Just learn from your mistakes and move forward again. If you allow it, you can get stronger every time you come back. I also want to reframe your definition of success. When I worked in the corporate world, we often celebrated even a 5% increase in sales or a 10% decrease in costs. If you made a 10% reduction in how many calories you ate each day or a 20% improvement on how many times you went to the gym, that would be huge. Yet for some reason, we have this idea that we're either 100% perfect or we're failures when it comes to alcohol. Let's look at this a different way. If you normally drink every night, then by making it 30 days without a drink, you've made an 8.2% reduction in your drinking in the last year. Congratulations, that is huge. If you made it through this experiment but slipped up one day, you've got a 97% success rate. If you slipped up 5 days, you're still at an 84% success rate. That is massive. I love it when people start to look at their drinking in this way, because by celebrating the wins instead of the blips, we start to see real positive changes. It puts a smile on my face when I go from getting sad emails from people who can't get past day one to excited emails from the same people who now report they have a 70% alcohol-free rating for the month. This reframing can change everything. Today, realize that the real change starts with making commitments and start defining some non-negotiables, the lines in the sand that you will not cross. And if you do cross a line, then you have a huge warning light flashing red and saying, "Whoa, wait a second. You're heading someplace you've decided that you don't want to go." Crossing your line in the sand is your signal to step back and take another break. Maybe you need another 30-day reset, or maybe you need to go back and read your journal entries. What are your non-negotiables? And what will happen if you do break one of them? Take some time now to write these down and commit to them. Day 29, journal questions. Remember, all the wisdom you seek is actually inside you. The most important words in this experiment are the ones you tell yourself. So take some time and answer these questions in a separate journal. That's the most effective. Or maybe even make a voice memo to yourself. Or simply speak the words out loud for only you to hear. 1. Where is your train headed? Now is the time for you to be truly honest with yourself. There is no downside. The only things that result from honest reflection are awareness and motivation for change. You're not losing anything through complete honesty. You can still always make your own decisions. You will just be making them from an empowered, knowledgeable place. Today, consider the train analogy and understanding that over time, you will become more tolerant to alcohol while enjoying it less. Where was your alcohol train headed before this experiment? And if you don't commit to changing your relationship with alcohol going forward, What will your life look like in a year from now? In 5 years? What about in 10? 2. Asking a new question. Reflect on this new question. How do I live my happiest, best life? Instead of the old question, do I have to stop drinking? Can you accept that living alcohol-free might be a tool in living your happiest, best life? If you determine that living alcohol-free is a tool you need in your life, can you envision making peace with that decision, knowing that it's contributing to your happiest, best life? Write whatever comes to mind as you consider this idea. 3. Write a letter to your future self. Take a few minutes to imagine yourself in 5 or 10 years. Think about what you will look like, where you will be, who you will be with. What will you like? What will you dislike? Think compassionately about this self of the future and imagine how your choices today will determine the quality of life for this very special you of tomorrow. Take some time to write a letter to your future self. Write your hopes and your fears and your dreams, and write with love and compassion. Day 29, Reflections from AlcoholExperiment.com. Philip says, feeling vibrant energy working its way into all parts of my life from being 29 days booze-free has inspired me to continue on my path of abstaining. I'm working on a health and fitness goals. To start drinking again would be counterproductive. I'm also looking for a new job, so I'm putting my energy towards things that are priorities. These positive actions will get me out of the booze grave I dug myself into. I now know that daily intention is part of my journey. I know from experience that when I do things mindlessly, they spiral out of control. I hurt the people I love. I hurt myself, and I am unkind to myself. I know that old way of doing things leads to deep despair. Melinda says, maintaining my clear-headed, energetic self is more important than alcohol. Experiencing life in situations honestly is more important than alcohol. Facing my fears alcohol-free, working through problems and roadblocks, and discovering new things in life and new things about myself are all more important than alcohol. Alcohol is just a substance that seemingly offers temporary relief at best. At worst, it has robbed me of living my best life for too long. No more. I am in control of my life now. Benjamin says, I have decided to remove alcohol completely from my life. Should the time come when it returns, it must never be anything but an insignificant trifle to be picked up briefly and put back down again in its place. It will never again supplant time with friends and family, genuine connection, and joy. It will never again dominate my conscious and subconscious thoughts and intentions. Susan says, this has been so enlightening. I am so grateful to Annie and all of the energy she has put into this program. It has worked for me in that my relationship with alcohol has changed. I see it for what it is. I don't know if I will give up alcohol altogether, but this is a process for me, and I now know I have the tools to deal with my non-negotiables. Thank you, Annie Grace, for your hard-won wisdom and your generosity in sharing it with the world. This is a revolution. Day 30, What's Next? William Jennings Bryan said, destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. It's not a thing to be waited for. It's a thing to be achieved. First, congratulations, you did it. Completing this 30-day experiment is a big accomplishment, and you should be proud. No matter where you go from here, you will never lose this time of learning, self-reflection, and empowerment. And while you may not yet realize the enormity of your accomplishment, I promise you that powerful shifts have happened. You have embarked on a path of awareness, and you will naturally and effortlessly be more mindful of your drinking in the future. What happens next will depend on where you fall on the spectrum of drinkers. Everyone is different, and your results from this experiment may surprise you. It's possible that you found the past 30 days difficult and still feel emotionally dependent on alcohol. If that's the case, you may want to check out the resources at thisnakedmind.com. It's also possible that you will feel amazing and want to continue alcohol-free for the next few weeks just to see how it goes. Or you may feel amazing and never want to drink again. You may also feel amazing and you would like to return to a more moderate, mindful drinking approach. However you feel is perfect. Remember, this was an experiment, not a life sentence. And the whole purpose of these past 30 days was to get mindful and present around what alcohol is and how it affects the human body and mind. You've done that, which means you've succeeded. There is often a big fear around returning to drinking after a period of abstinence, like during this experiment. People wonder whether they can really do it or whether they will ruin all the work they've put into themselves over the past weeks. They're afraid to trust themselves to go back to drinking. It's always possible that you could head down that slippery slope towards out-of-control drinking at some point. My goal is to help you recognize that downward trend as soon as possible. The sooner you recognize what's happening, the sooner you can stop yourself and reverse the trend. No matter what you're feeling right now, I want to offer you a few different ideas to give you some additional insight into where you are right now and what you might truly want. Again, these ideas have no right or wrong. There's no judgment around them. Whatever you decide is good. But you have a unique opportunity at this moment. You've completely purged alcohol from your system, and you have the chance to objectively observe what actually happens when you drink. If you tried these strategies at the beginning of the experiment, you'd get different results because you'd have remnants of alcohol in your system. So take this opportunity to become a reporter and actually study the facts and your behavior before making any decisions about your future. Strategy 1, get drunk for science. Before I dive into this strategy, please know that I do not recommend you do this unless you've already decided to go back to drinking. If you're planning right now to take a longer break, great. That's awesome. This is not required, but I highly suggest you do it before you pick up your next drink mindlessly. When we drift back into drinking, we immediately reprogram our unconscious because we often drift back into it either during a celebration or when we're stressed. And in each of those situations, you deliver a strong subconscious message to your brain. If you drink for celebration, chances are that you're in a situation that's going to be fun anyway, like a birthday party or a vacation you've been planning. So when you have a drink and you do have fun, you've delivered a powerful message to the subconscious that alcohol is fun. And when we slip back into drinking for stress, the same thing happens. Alcohol seems to work because alcohol will numb your brain and therefore any uncomfortable feelings you have for a limited time. Again, 20 to 30 minutes for one drink. Yet in that 20 to 30 minutes, you've delivered a powerful message to your subconscious that alcohol relieves stress. So I recommend that if you decide to go back to drinking, you do it mindfully with this strategy. This strategy will show you exactly how alcohol truly makes you feel, which allows you to make a mindful decision about it. But again, do this only if and when you decide to drink again. It is not recommended if you've already decided to continue on with your experiment. Now we know that going out and drinking with friends or having a beer at a concert is fun, right? But is it the alcohol? Or is it simply being with your friends and enjoying some great music? Maybe that's the fun part. The only way you can know for sure is to separate the two, which means drinking alone. There's an exercise I've used to figure this out. Basically, you need to remove all external sources of stimulation from your environment. Anything like TV, music, or friends will distract you from the actual feelings you're getting from the alcohol. Here's what you do. Get drunk, alone, with a video camera, and be mindful about how you're feeling during the whole experience. You'll want to record your thoughts and sensations around the first drink you consume. And then you'll want to continue recording your feelings as you continue to the next drink and beyond. You're basically getting drunk for science, your own personal science, to help you decide whether you want to continue on this path. When you have your first drink, notice how long it takes to get that tipsy feeling. Tell the video camera exactly what you're feeling. What sensations are you experiencing? Is there any anxiety? And then notice how long that feeling lasts. When I did this experiment, my video went something like, okay, this feels interesting. I'm a little tingly. I'm not necessarily with it right now, but my brain has stopped running a million miles an hour, and that's kind of a nice feeling. Now, whatever you notice is fine. No one is going to watch this video but you. Then wait at least an hour. See how it feels to come off that first drink, and then objectively ask yourself if you feel better or worse an hour later. Just sit and be mindful of how you're feeling and what thoughts might be running through your head. Then you can talk to the video camera again and say something like, okay, that tipsy feeling is pretty much worn off now, and I'm starting to feel a little bit uneasy. I really want that next drink, or whatever you are feeling. The 1 hour delay is important because it takes that long for your body to fully metabolize one drink, and you want to record how it feels to come off the first one. So how badly do you want to pour the next one? You might be fine, or you might be surprised by how much you want it. I drank an entire bottle of wine during my video experience, and it was one of the most enlightening things that I've ever done, because I wanted to know all the stages. Record yourself in 15-minute intervals. Set a timer, turn on the camera for 5 minutes or so, and then talk about how you're feeling. Talk about any conclusions you've drawn so far. Tell stories. Is this fun? Are you enjoying yourself? Are you feeling more or less stressed than before you started? You could even prepare some questions that you want to answer on camera ahead of time. But talking about anything is fine because you're going to watch this video the next day and make some observations. How do you look around the eyes as the video progresses? How is your voice? How is your skin tone? How is your demeanor? Is that the person in the video who you want to be? Maybe yes, maybe no. I did this myself after about 40 days alcohol-free. Now this is important. You need to be at least 30 days alcohol-free in order for this experiment to have the impact it should. And here's why. It takes at least 30 days for your body and brain to rebalance from drinking. And if you are less than 30 days alcohol-free, you may be experiencing some type of benefit as alcohol addresses any of the withdrawal symptoms, both physical and psychological, that your prior alcohol intake created. This means drinking will feel better than it would normally because of the deficit and imbalance your prior drinking caused. If you decide to do the experiment, do it alone, do it mindfully, follow all the rules, stay safe, and be sure to film it. It was one of the most powerful things I've done in terms of truly opening my eyes about alcohol. I couldn't even watch the video for years, but I knew without a doubt that when I decoupled alcohol from both scratching the itch of my withdrawal symptoms and from the natural pleasures of life, friends, going out, etc., there was no joy for me in alcohol alone. And you can watch my experiment video as part of the online social challenge at alcoholexperiment.com.
If you have not yet signed up for the online social challenge, you can sign up to watch just the experiment video at alcoholexperiment.com/drunkforscience.
Strategy 2, non-negotiables and lengthening. After you watch your video the next day, you might decide that you do want to return to moderate drinking. Here's a strategy for keeping yourself objective and honest about whether you're truly in control moving forward. Go back and refresh your memory on your non-negotiables. These are your lines in the sand that you will not cross without some sort of consequence. If you haven't set yours yet, you can go back to the beginning of this experiment and refresh your memory with your big why. Why was it important for you to undertake this experiment? Base your non-negotiables on what's important to you. For me, it was my memories of my children growing up. It's such a finite, precious time, and my memories were getting fuzzier and fuzzier. In fact, it breaks my heart that I can't remember my son's third birthday. Even though I wasn't blackout drunk or anything, I have huge memory gaps. So I set a non-negotiable that if I couldn't remember something after a night of drinking, then I had crossed a line and it was time to do something about it. Another non-negotiable for me was drinking as self-medication. If I simply had to have a drink because I was stressed out for some reason, that was not okay. I was totally committed to finding other healthy ways to deal with stress and uncomfortable emotions. I couldn't keep going back to the bottle every time I had a bad day or things were tough, because I knew where that train was headed, and I did not want to be on it when it crashed. Before I started drinking, I used to run or read a book to handle negative emotions. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that alcohol was making things worse. The lengthening strategy is a great tool because you never have to give up drinking forever. You simply give it up for longer and longer periods each time you cross one of your lines in the sand. For example, if I had just come off a 30-day abstinence period and broke one of my non-negotiables, then I would immediately start a 60-day break. And the next time it happened, I'd start a 90-day break, and so on. Even if I wound up giving myself a 3-year break, it's not forever, so my brain has an easier time accepting it. The trick is setting up the non-negotiables and the consequences ahead of time, when you've been alcohol-free for a while. This way, you're not punishing yourself for being bad in the past. All you're doing is objectively setting boundaries for the future, and just like any responsible person would with a potentially dangerous substance. You are in control of the entire situation, not the alcohol. The end result is that you keep pushing out your time frames longer and longer whenever you cross a line in the sand. A friend of mine used this strategy and eventually lengthened her experiments to be a year without drinking. And after a year, she no longer saw any point to drinking again. If you ask her, she won't say she's quit alcohol forever. She simply says, "Not right now. I just don't feel like it." Alcohol has become truly small and irrelevant in her life without her ever having to make a painful forever decision. This is because no matter how long she lengthened her experiments, she knew she could always go back after the end of the abstinence period if she wanted to. And after a year, she no longer wants to. How amazing is that? It's so freeing to know that you are in control. Strategy 3. Understand that maybe means yes. If you're coming off the experiment and you're at all concerned about backsliding, it's important to go forward mindfully. It's tempting to leave your options open. Well, I'm done with the challenge. Maybe I'll have a drink tonight at dinner, or maybe I'll have a few margaritas while I'm on vacation. Maybe almost always means yes. If you don't make a decision ahead of time, you're going to end up drinking. That might be fine, or it might not. But by not making a conscious yes or no decision, you're giving up a little bit of control. And you haven't even had a sip yet. It doesn't matter whether you decide to drink that evening. Just realize that it's the decision that matters. Before you go out with your friends, before you head to your favorite watering hole after work, before that big holiday party, make your decision. Will you be having a drink? Visualize it. Imagine how great the iced tea will taste with dinner. Or imagine yourself easily saying no thanks to that second glass of wine. Once you've made a decision, it's so much easier to stick to it. If it's a maybe, then 99% of the time, it's going to end up being a yes. What's next? What's next is entirely up to you. But in my experience, once you start drinking again, you can quickly regret that decision because you start to realize that you're not actually in control. I've seen it hundreds of times. Someone finishes a 30-day challenge and they think they're fine. They'll have one or two nights of moderate drinking, and then before they know it, they're right back where they started. They thought they were in control, but it's a slippery slope. It's kind of like the kids' game, Chutes and Ladders, where you try to get up the end of a long, winding track, and you get to skip ahead by climbing up ladders, but one long chute can put you right back at the beginning. You'll be moving along nicely, thinking you're about to win the game, when bam, you land on a chute that slides you back several levels. There are two options at that point. Get angry, blame yourself, flip the board game over, and go grab a drink. Or you can just laugh at yourself and realize that you need to start forward progress over again and know in your heart that you can make up for lost ground. No one sets out to screw their life up with alcohol. There's never a conscious intention to drink to the point of giving yourself a deadly disease. You aren't even consciously aware of when your drinking became something more than you intended, or when you unknowingly gave up your power to alcohol. Circumstances line up just right, and bam, your marriage is over, or you lose your kids, or you get fired from your job. The good news is that unlike a game of chance, you do have some control over your own behavior. You have a choice to learn from your setbacks. I made a promise to myself a long time ago to never beat myself up over slip-ups or mistakes. Instead, I promised to treat them as learning experiences and a chance to move forward with this new resolve. You have the same opportunity. Setbacks are part of being human. Whether it's with drinking or gambling or being a good parent, we all have good days and bad days. The point is to learn from the bad days so that you have fewer and fewer of them in the future. Today is day 30. If you've decided to stop drinking indefinitely, great. Kudos to you. If you've decided you want to keep drinking and feel you can do so more moderately, great. Whatever decision you make is good. You can always change your mind. You are the boss. And the social challenge at alcoholexperiment.com is available if you ever want the accountability in achieving your goals. And if you need more resources or coaching for this incredible journey you've begun, please visit me at thisnakedmind.com. Day 30, Journal Questions. Remember, all the wisdom you seek is actually inside you. The most important words in this experiment are the ones you tell yourself. So take some time and answer these questions in a separate journal. That's the most effective. Or maybe even make a voice memo to yourself. Or simply speak the words out loud for only you to hear. 1. Getting drunk for science. Reflect on the idea presented in this chapter. If you haven't joined the online community at alcoholexperiment.com, consider visiting alcoholexperiment.com/drunkforscience to watch the video of my personal experience getting drunk for science. Then decide if you plan to do your own. If yes, I want you to write down your exact plans and follow all the suggested instructions. If not, journal about why not. 2. Your non-negotiables. What are your non-negotiables? What are the lines in the sand that you will not cross? Write specifically about those things that are more important in your life than alcohol. What will you not sacrifice any longer for the sake of a drink? Reflect on your past. Write about where you never want to be again. Take your time and come up with a solid list of non-negotiables. 3. Your lengthening strategy. Consider the lengthening strategy outlined in today's lesson. Do you plan on using this strategy as you go back to mindful drinking? What initial length are you committing to? How long will you commit to if you break any of your non-negotiables during that time? And how will you ensure that from this moment forward, you and not the alcohol are in control? Detail out a plan that feels great to you and that you're excited about. Day 30 Reflections from alcoholexperiment.com. Brianna says, 30 days ago, I was in utter despair. I was afraid, but also sick of being addicted and ready to make the changes I seriously needed. My before and after pictures tell a huge story. I'm astonished at the changes. In this month, I have also fixed up other parts of my life. I'm now getting somewhere that I like, and I have goals. I have my zest for life again and my creativity back. I know in my heart that I will succeed. I now believe in myself, and I only want to be a happy woman who loves and respects herself and others. This is what coming home feels like. Thank you, Annie, for this gift. Becky says, if you really want something, you can achieve it. I tried so many times thinking I wanted it badly, but I wasn't ready. I didn't want it enough. This time I did, and I'm sure that was the key to a successful 30 days and will be the key to my future success. Sure, it was hard, but you can do it if the mind is clear on what you want. Unlike some, I can't trust myself to go back to drinking moderately. So for me, this is the end of a very rough, abusive relationship. Thank you, Annie. I'm so glad I found this, so glad I participated, and so proud that I have come this far. Samuel says, thank you, just thank you. Here's to mindfulness. Here's to friends and family and fun. Here's to everything in its place. Here's to being present. And here's to everything I've gotten in touch with over the last 30 days. Thank you. Vince says, thank you 1,000 times, Annie, for creating this experiment. It's the best, most educational, and most compassionate alcohol program I've ever come across. Your enthusiasm has been contagious for me. I can see clearly now that alcohol is disguised poison and never, ever delivers what it promises. Thank you to everyone who did the experiment, too. For all your honesty, you definitely contributed to my being able to complete the 30 days. Wow, I'm going to do the experiment again now. One final word. Before we end, I want to say how amazing I think you are. I know I've said it before, but I really mean it. Simply by listening through this book with me day by day, you've done something to be proud of. I hope you take a few minutes to appreciate yourself for doing this experiment. My good friend, coach, and mentor, Alex, told me recently how he became an expert marksman and target shooter. And I wanted to include this story here because it illustrates a great point. When he was young and learning how to shoot, the range instructor put him about a foot away from the target. He was so close that there was no way he could miss. It was a guaranteed success for him. Then the instructor moved the target a little further back, and Alex shot from that distance for a while. Again, there was almost no way he could miss. Over time, the target was moved further and further away, but Alex kept hitting it. He had become an expert quickly because he built his skill on success. His confidence grew as he hit the target over and over again, and when it moved back just a little bit, that confidence kept his hand steady. Most people learn to get better by failing and trying to correct the mistakes. That instructor could have started Alex at a respectable beginner distance away from the target and helped him make corrections. But building on failure is so hard. Every miss is a chance to tell ourselves we can't do it. Now, some people might say, well, it's easy to have success when he was only a foot from the target. And that's exactly the point. When you're a beginner at anything, including sobriety, the task is supposed to be easy. If it's too difficult, you'll give up and believe you can't do it. But when you build on a foundation of success, the next step becomes achievable. You don't expect to run a marathon without first running a mile. You don't test for a black belt before you get a yellow one. You don't learn to read before you know the alphabet. What good does it do to start a beginner on a target that's 100 feet away? They're going to miss and lose confidence. They might even give up before they've had a chance to develop the muscles and skill they need to succeed. What a shame. I designed the alcohol experiment to be easy and without pressure because I wanted you to experience success. And you did. Even if you only made it one day, you succeeded. Even if you didn't make it a single day, but you learned something about yourself, you succeeded. The goal was never to get you to stop drinking, but simply to experiment and take an introspective look at your relationship with alcohol. There was no way you could fail. How cool is that? You are a success. And at the end of the day, this is your journey. My wish for you now is that you take that success and let it be a foundation for whatever you choose to do moving forward. The target for you is a decision you make about alcohol in your life, and you want to make it easy. If you decide to do another 30 days without drinking, and that's easy for you, great. If you decide moderation is your thing, and you're going to skip that second glass of wine just for tonight, cool. You can do it. You are already successful, so make your next steps easy. You don't have to set yourself up for failure by deciding to quit forever, if that's going to be hard for you. In fact, I don't even say that I've quit alcohol forever. I know if I did, my brain would rebel and I might be tempted to have a drink. I like to say that I drink as much as I want whenever I want. And the reality is that by knowing and reminding myself of the truth about alcohol, I haven't wanted a drink in years. Take it in the steps you know you can achieve, and then move the target back as your confidence grows. It's your life. You get to decide. When most people decide to quit drinking, they think that they have to make a lifelong commitment. That means if they ever have a drink again in their entire life, they've failed. That's a lot of pressure. But if they decide, I'm not going to drink for today, or this week, or this month, or even this year, it's much easier to handle. Your brain is amazing, and you can program it to do what you want by repeatedly succeeding. If you make the target too hard to hit, you'll consistently fail. When that happens, your brain gets the message that you're a failure, and you start to believe it. And when you believe you're a failure when it comes to alcohol, that belief makes your life so difficult. Train your brain to believe you're successful instead, and so then you can do anything you decide to do. Make the smallest possible decision that you know you can succeed at. All you have to do is show up, hit the easy target, and congratulate yourself on a big win. You have all the tools you need now to succeed with this book. And again, if you'd like more support and resources, I invite you to join me and thousands of other people from around the world at alcoholexperiment.com. You are already a success. You've got this. With all the love in my heart, Annie.
Appendix. Host the alcohol experiment in your community. Are you looking to bring the alcohol experiment into your workplace or gym, family, church, college, or any other community group? Awesome. I am so happy to hear that. I believe that everyone should have the opportunity to take a break from alcohol, examine their beliefs around the substance, and take control of their future. I also believe the true power of the alcohol experiment is strengthened and extended when done within the space and support of a group. That's why I offer private communities our live alcohol experiments and why we're outlining how you can host your very own alcohol experiment. Below, you'll find everything you need to get started. Here's what you'll need. You'll need a start date and an end date. You'll need a primary form of communication with your participants. It could be text, email, an online social group, Slack, or any other type of messaging app. You'll need a way to make copies of reading questions and worksheets for the group. And you'll need your meeting format, which I'll talk through shortly. You'll need to set meeting dates and locations. I recommend publishing all meeting times and locations for the whole experiment in advance. And you might need some extra copies of The Alcohol Experiment, the book, just in case somebody doesn't have one or needs one at a discussion meeting. And if you're doing charitable donations, you might want to choose a charity of your choice and a way to collect donations. Some people have hosted an alcohol experiment for a cause, which is such a great idea. I recommend meeting no fewer than 4 times during your 30-day alcohol experiment. And if you can meet more, great. Establish a day, time, and a place that works best for everyone who's part of your group. And make sure you get the names and contact information for everyone in your group, as you'll want to keep in touch during the days you don't meet.
everyday support is a crucial part of the alcohol experiment. Start an email chain, a group chat, or a Facebook group where all the members can come and share what they're learning each day, talk about their successes and struggles, and ask questions if they need to. This is also a space to put reminders about your weekly face-to-face meetups. Suggested meeting format. Please note that everything here is optional. Make this yours. Maybe you want to bring some fun mocktails. Maybe you want to alternate moderators. Have fun, enjoy the experiment, and adapt it to you and your group. Meetings should last 1 to 2 hours. Read the Alcohol Experiment Manifesto as you open. It's your body, it's your mind, and it's your choice. During the alcohol experiment, you'll make a choice to go 30 days without alcohol, just to see how you feel. You'll become a detached reporter, researching the facts, writing down your observations, and possibly drawing new conclusions. This is an exciting experiment. It's not a punishment. You're not weak-willed for questioning your drinking. There's no judgment or labeling here. You have a unique opportunity to remember how to enjoy life without alcohol. And with this unconventional approach, I'm willing to bet we'll enjoy the process. Read the group guidelines and feel free to make these your own. These are simply suggestions. We see a world where everyone who questions their drinking is supported and applauded, not made to feel shame or embarrassment. A world where asking if life would be better with less booze is treated the same as quitting smoking, giving up sugar, or cutting back on coffee. Our mission is to allow anyone to experiment with the role of alcohol in their life by taking a 30-day alcohol-free challenge. We support all paths on this journey, and above all else, respect the fact that your relationship with alcohol is an individual path. While we aim to provide anecdotal and scientific education, we will never judge an individual's decision in regards to their own drinking. We ask that you be respectful and supportive of others, even if their path is different than your own. Each person should go around and introduce themselves, and the moderator can ask if anyone has any milestones they might want to share. Next, the moderator begins discussion questions. Participants can answer when they feel comfortable. One note on moderating. Depending on the group and how well everyone knows each other, it can be really handy to have a story or personal experience to share for each of the discussion questions. Prepare these ahead of time, and you can jumpstart the conversation. Intro meeting. Before the month begins, outline meeting rules and read the introduction of the book. Discuss what an act is and try a few examples. If you're meeting 4 times, not including the intro meeting, you should break up the discussion into these chunks. Meeting 1, discussion of days 1 through 7. Meeting 2, discussion of days 8 through 14. Meeting 3, discussion of days 15 through 22. And meeting 4, discussion of days 23 through 30. Discussion questions. Meeting 1, days 1 through 7. What's your why? Have you tried getting curious? How did it work? Which alcohol facts stand out most to you? What have you shared with your friends and loved ones about this experiment, and how did you do it? If there's any remaining time, try the ACT technique as a group, or allow for free discussion. Meeting 2, days 8 through 14. Did you do the negative self-talk writing exercise? What surprised you the most? Are you avoiding sugar or indulging? Did you try some of the practical steps in the book? How does it make you feel to be part of the culture shift? What does loving yourself mean to you? In any remaining time, try the ACT technique as a group or allow for free discussion. Meeting 3, days 15 through 22. How are your social skills now that you're not drinking? What are you working on? How have you been building a boredom threshold for your life? How has your view on boredom changed? How have you been questioning the truth about alcohol advertising? What are the possible unmet needs in your life right now? In any remaining time, try the ACT technique as a group or allow for free discussion. Meeting 4, days 23 through 30. What did you already know about alcohol's effect on the body? And what did you learn?
Have you considered yourself someone who has an addictive personality? Why or why not? How do you define moderation? What are your non-negotiables? What are your biggest takeaways from the alcohol experiment, and what's next for you in this journey? In any remaining time, try the ACT technique as a group or allow for free discussion. At the last meeting, define what the next steps are. Will there be an online social group where everyone can keep in contact as they continue on this journey? Will you continue to meet once a month going forward? Or will you do another alcohol experiment next month? It's entirely up to you. I highly recommend keeping in contact with everyone in the group and planning a future meetup at some point to check in. I also recommend repeating the alcohol experiment as frequently as you're able and invite more people to join you. Important note and additional resources. If you have someone in your group who seems to need a bit more help, you can send them to thisnakedmind.com to explore all of our intensive coaching programs. And if there's ever anyone who you're concerned about, please advise them to seek medical attention. ACT Technique Worksheet. When you complete the ACT technique with a belief or story that's keeping you stuck or causing you pain, that belief lets go of you both logically and far more powerfully emotionally. This means that through this process, the story or belief stops causing you pain and stress. When you want to work on a belief or thought, answer these questions for any belief or story that's not helpful to you or is holding you back. It doesn't have to be specific to alcohol. This ACT technique works for anything. I highly recommend you pause and write down your answers. Step 1, awareness. What is your belief or story? Simply name it and write it down. What experiences and observations have led you to form this belief? Where did it come from? You may need to think back on your life or even to your childhood. List a few and get a good idea of where this belief originated for you. Step 2, clarity. Is this belief internally, inside yourself, true? When you pause and reflect on this belief, can you find areas inside yourself where it's not actually true? Now consider, is this belief externally true? What external evidence can you find that supports or discredits this belief? For this part, you may want to do some quick research or observations. Look around you and find evidence for this belief. Step 3, turnaround. Now state the opposite of the initial belief in the same words. Then find as many reasons as you can that the opposite is as true or even truer than that original belief. Now decide if this initial belief is still true for you and if holding on to this belief is actually serving you. Ask yourself if there's any peaceful or stress-free reasons to keep the initial belief. This is Annie Grace. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Alcohol Experiment, Expanded Edition, a 30-day alcohol-free challenge to interrupt your habits and help you take control. This program was directed by Chris Koscheski. Executive producer, Dan Musselman. Text copyright 2020 by Annie Grace, LLC. Production copyright 2020, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.